Where your treasure is, your heart is also. The charity directors, who used to be called trustees, have a bit of a moral duty, I feel, once a year to come to the church and to say, well, the money that you have been giving in your offerings and the money elsewhere coming into TCF, here's what we've done with it. And here's where it goes, etc., etc. So this is not a full financial report. I've honed it down to the bits that really affect us in the church. So it's talking about the year 2025 to 26. There's a thing called a financial year. It's also the tax year, where from April 2025 all the way around to March-ish 2026, there or thereabouts, that's one financial year, and that's the one I'm mainly talking about, but I'm also looking ahead. Okay, so the charity directors are Ricky, Gillian's husband, Steve at the back, he gave the talk last year, Oyin over there, and myself. We have a duty to keep the church up to speed with this. So those who have donated money might justifiably say, so where's our money gone? What's happened to it? I want to say none of the charity directors receive any kind of payment at all. We can't. It's illegal if we were to. The only thing we can claim for is legitimate expenses, out-of-pocket expenses they're called, if accompanied by a receipt. So we don't make money out of TCF at all. And I want to thank at this point all the charity directors for all the hard work they put in throughout the year and for the responsibilities they take. It's big. So today, I just want to cover very briefly, actually, these points. I want to look at the total income and expenditure overall, which I've already said is pretty unhelpful, actually. We'll cover that in one slide very quickly. I want to look at the church finances. That's the main thing. It might be the main thing that interests you, the Spacious Place Cafe, mission and compassion funds. Why? What do we have those? What they're for? What do we need as a church to be in faith for? And I promise you there's some stuff we need to be in faith for this year. Oyin's going to do a quick encouragement to give, and then I'll give you a thank you. So the first thing is what you might call I've done some nice little bar charts, the charity's aggregate or consolidated income and expenditure. And if you can see the figures at the top there, it looks like huge, doesn't it? Blue is income, red is expenditure. Those two bars are the previous year. Those two bars are the year that's just ended, okay? So you can see in the first year, we had more income than expenditure, because the bar's higher. And in the second year, expenditure exceeded income. It sort of goes backwards and forwards year on year. It looks like huge amounts of money. I mean, just to quote the top blue figure, £742,000. Looks huge. But that's the church, the general account, that's food bank, the preschool, that's cafe, the mission fund and the compassion funds all rolled together. So it kind of masks it if you bung it all together. We're a single charity. So all the money that comes in and comes out is that stuff. But most of it is what we call restricted, which basically means if someone gives some money to food bank for food, we can't just use it to prettify the building in here. Because it's called restricted funds. They're given for the purpose. And a lot of the money we get is restricted. So it's limited in how we can spend it. Okay, so that rather clouds the picture, doesn't it? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to break it down into the individual things. The church, then. The church and the general fund, income and expenditure. And again, the first two bars are the previous year. The middle two bars there are the year that's just ended in March, April, just gone. And the ones on the right are the budget. What we're looking ahead, thinking we're going to do this over the year. And the figures are a lot more sort of 150,000, for example, which is still big, but not nearly as big as everything else. Okay. So, for example, last year, if you look at the middle set of bars, we made a loss of about 5,500, which was covered by money in the bank, basically our reserves. This year, we're budgeting, in faith, for a £10,000 surplus. Because you can see the blue bar on the right is bigger than the red bar on the right. We're budgeting for a surplus. Interesting, isn't it? Let's look at the blue bars. Where does the income actually come from? Where does our income come from? Now, it's looking more complicated. You need actually quite good eyesight to read what it says at the bottom there. Yes. So, I'll read the back. So, the groups of bars there, three colours each. There's regular giving. There's one-off donations. There's gift aid. There's hall hire. There's food bank income from us, into us. There's preschool, and a bit of money comes in from the cafe. All of those bits give money into the church and general fund. Okay? Well, just visually, you don't have to squint too much to see that most of our giving comes from regular giving from us, a facilities payment from Food Bank, because we do all their, basically all their admin and all their wage things and everything else, okay? So Food Bank give us a facilities payment for doing that, and so does the preschool as well. So those are the three bits of income that, if you like, we have to play with. There are other little bits and pieces, okay? And I, as I said, we're budgeting a significant uplift this coming year. An income of 34% more than we got last year. There's a bit of step of faith in there, isn't there, do you think? This is really a clear step of faith by the leaders and charity directors. We are trusting God for more people to give more money than they did last year, by quite a bit, by at least a third. So I'm kind of working into that step of faith. So this money that comes in, where does it go? Well, I'll name the bars again. So there's legal and office fees, there's utilities, heating, lighting, water, that sort of stuff. Cleaning materials, sorry, a bit small, aren't they? Some money goes to mission, some money goes to ministry, but the massive, large one on the right is employment. So those people we employ, various things. Well, you have to pay their wages, you have to pay their national insurance, you have to pay, you know, various things on that. And that's actually as it should be. We invest in people. We don't invest in things, by and large. We invest in people. So, and I think it's rather good. On a Sunday, we're bringing money into the offering and we're investing in people. We could not operate as a church without some of these critical people. John is our senior administrator, and he administrates a lot of that in the office. As we're seeing, it's a bit of a struggle without John at the moment. So, but we pay others as well. But we could not operate as a church without many people giving their time and energies free of charge, volunteers, and that involves a lot of you here today. Thank you for your volunteering. That's unpaid, but it's equally vital. Let's look at the cafe. Crash, there's the cafe. Now, so income expenditure for the last 2 years plus the budget. What do you notice about that? Yeah, the red bars, the expenditure, are bigger than the blue bars, which basically means it's a loss, isn't it? Last year, the cafe made a significant loss of £30,000. But we've talked about this as trustees. We're not massively concerned about this. It is an outreach ministry. This is not a profit-making thing over there. It's there to reach out to people. We would like to cover our costs, but we're not there to make a mint of money from the cafe. This year, here's another step of faith. The budget is to make a 12,000 odd surplus. So anyway, where does the cafe's income come from? And this is a bit of a pointer to us, actually. So that's
1 year, that's the year that's just ended, that's the budget. What do you reckon those purple bars are?
Can you see it?
Sale
of products. In other words, we sell meals and coffee and food and all that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. Some income on the orange bars comes in through donations, not very much. The grey bars are stuff coming in from grants. And obviously, there was a lot of startup grants for our cafe, and as the years go on, there is less and less for that. We rely more and more on the actual sale of goods. And that's one of the reasons we've had to put our prices up a bit, actually. We have to cover our costs, and you know, lots of things have gone up. Most customers, I think, accept this is a fact of life. It's happening all over the country that prices have had to go up across the entire hospitality sector. But please support our cafe by blessing us with your presence. It's open Monday to Friday, 9 till 3 every day. So bless us with your presence and your purse. I'd say both beginning with P. And that isn't just to pay for the cafe and its things. Your presence is equally important. This is a ministry, it's an outreach cafe. The presence of a Christian there talking and praying is absolutely vital. It's one of the reasons why the cafe is actually there. So even if you don't go in there and spend a lot of money, go in there anyway and sit there perhaps with a cup of tea and pray and or talk to someone. That makes a huge difference. The expenditure, again, you can't read, sorry about the words being so small there, but what do you reckon the grey bars are?
The products.
No, not the food costs. The food costs are in purple.
Ah.
Staffing, employment. So we employ partially or fully 3 members of staff. And it's not just the wages, it's the employer's national insurance costs and things that go into that, which, by the way, have just gone up, haven't they, in the last couple of years, quite massively. Employer's national insurance has increased from 13.8% to 15%, but also the worst thing is it starts at much lower salary now. You've only got to earn $5,000 a year and you're caught in employer's national insurance, whereas previously it was nearly double that. So that's caught a lot of part-time staff that would have otherwise we wouldn't have been paying that on. So that's just upped it. Then the national minimum wage has been upped as well, and we've been forced obviously to match that. In general we try and hit the living wage, as it's called, with a little bit higher, but we haven't been able to do that this year. So there's a lot of employment costs that really have hit us. Again, so we need to pray for the cafe. Yes, we do need to buy food, but the raw materials are not the biggest deal, actually. The running costs are things like the electric and the gas and all the other bits and bobs. But you can see, employment is the biggest deal. We could not run this cafe without volunteers. You know, Gillian works, for example, on a Tuesday. We don't pay Gillian. Sorry about that, but but she volunteers. Judith works in there. We don't pay Judith either. We could not. Glenda does masses of work, either cooking or behind the scenes. We don't pay Glenda. So there are lots of people in there, and we're really grateful. We could not run this cafe without them. So we only actually pay 3 nearly full-time members of the staff, but you know there are many more others we rely on. So I mentioned a couple of other things. One is the mission fund. What's this mission fund then? Well, as a church, you know, we encourage individuals to tithe or to aim for a target of giving of 10%. Doesn't mean you've got to feel awkward if you don't, but it's a good target, actually. And I found personally in my life, the more I give, the more God blesses me. But anyway, we do that for individuals. So as a church, we will tithe a tenth of our income and give it away to other Christians, other churches, other missions. And that's what we do. And so each year, it's 10% of the church's income from the previous year. So you can see here, The total needed to go to mission was 11,892, for example. And you can just, it just gives you a little thing of where has it gone, or where is it budgeted to go in the next year. Well, a lot of them are abroad, mission abroad. That's Victory Church in Kosovo. That's Tomo and Miranda. We met them, didn't we, earlier? They preached here. That's in Albania. We're giving increasing amounts to them. These are annual amounts. Transforming Essex. This is a group of churches which want to bring the gospel of Jesus to the county of Essex. We're part of that, but we give to their central funds. And there's some people that go on the streets of Washington, D.C., do a street ministry, preaching the gospel, running a healing program. It's brilliant. They're called Jean and Lauren Lloyd. Jean's a man. They're a married couple, and they do that. And so we give money to them as well. The idea really is we give money away, we don't give it to ourselves, if you sort of mean. So this is outside of TCF. This is deliberate. It's not. We're not trying to just bless ourselves. We're blessing others. So that's how the mission fund works. The charity directors decide or agree the amount in total, and then the leaders decide where is it going each year. That's how that kind of works out. If you have further ideas of Christian ministries that you think, oh, they could, you know, have some of that, then speak to a leader and, you know, we'll consider it. You can actually see, yet to be allocated, almost the bottom line there. £592 have yet to be allocated, but from previous years where we haven't fully allocated, there's another 8,000. So we're pretty flush at the moment. We should be giving more away. So if you have ideas about that, please let us know. Then there's the Compassion Fund. It used to be called the Poor and Needy Fund, which sounded a bit kind of demeaning, didn't it, poor and needy. But the Compassion Fund sounds a bit more, don't you think, Princess? Sounds a little bit more up to date. So this is basically, we give away 3.33%, so that's a third of a tenth, if you like, think of it that way, of our church income. And it's specifically to meet the needs of the poor. I mean, like, who? I mean, you know, Thurrock has got more poor people than you could possibly meet the needs of. Well, it's poor people that sort of come into contact with us or one of our people. So, for example, I mean, David used to do a lot of work with Christians Against Poverty, made a lot of contacts and like that, and he often comes across people and he says, oh, actually, they could do with having their electricity bill topped up, for example, or, you know, their meter's completely run out, they've got no electric, can we give them £75 to that? That will come out the Compassion Fund. And you can actually see, well, I'll send you the slides afterwards because you probably can't see. What's gone out is the final column on the right. Not very much has gone out recently. In fact, 6 payments have gone out in the last year or so. In other words, this fund is underused. We need to use it more. Now, the people that are allowed to say who can have this is the charity directors, the leaders, and at the moment, David. David is authorised as well, simply because he has the contacts around the area already. But if you know of someone in the same sort of position, we don't sort of say, well, someone needs a new bike or, you know, they'd like a tennis racket or whatever. It's not that sort of thing. It's someone who is lacking a real essential for living, and it's got to be roughly within the sort of price range of £75 to £100. We can't really give someone £10,000 for something, but there are other means for that, and we do. There is a lady called Kate in the food bank area who she's called the referral officer, and she is able to point people towards other agencies that provide that. Hi, Natasha. Yeah, although that's not the Compassion Fund itself, though. But yes, we are looking to do something for the youth actually as well, in conjunction with other churches around here. But But yeah, yeah. But this is just for individuals who are particularly in need and need that. So that's that. I said I'd talk about a step of faith. So just to summarise some of those slides there, we plan to raise, for the church this is, £40,000 in tithes and offerings this financial year. That's according to the budget. Okay? That is £10,000 more than last year in terms of giving and offerings and things like that. That's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot. That's actually, yeah, about 34% uplift. This is a step of faith, you know, and we as leaders and trustees, we're asking you to stand with us in this step of faith. Now, standing with us doesn't just mean believing. It might mean acting on that yourself. It might mean upping your giving. Inflation has gone up. Wages have gone up. So let's all consider our giving as well. Oyin's going to carry on more about that anyway, so I won't step on her toes as far as this is concerned. But this is a step of faith for us as a church. So I'm encouraging you and inviting you and asking you, please, to join us in that respect. So over to you for some minutes, Oyin. Oyin is a charity director. She's the newest one, and we're so grateful for her. She brings a lot of expertise to our table.
Yes.
Want me to change the menu ready?
That one. Yeah. Yes. As much as I don't like speaking on giving, and I presume some of us don't like hearing about giving, I'm here to remind us that it is a very part of our worship. And also, it enables us to tap into God's heavenly resources that God has made available to us. And today, I would just like to briefly share of my experiences and just three passages of scripture. I don't have much time, so I'm going to be reading from scriptures to encourage us briefly, so we can go have our barbecues after. Anyway, I'll just read through these scriptures first, I think. Proverbs 11:24. There are scriptures we already know, and there are scriptures that have impacted my life. And there's so much that God talks about giving, as Andy alluded to earlier. But I'll just focus on three scriptures. Said, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And NKJV says, it leads to poverty. And I'll just say this quickly now. This latter part, I suffered this latter part for a brief period in my earlier walk in Christ when I was a student and I thought I didn't have. So I was withholding, saying God understands. And yes, I knew I just kept needing more or having needs. I'll read from the NKJV of this next scripture, which we all know, I think. And if you don't, it's Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in the field, says the Lord Almighty, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Heaven's windows have nothing to do with our wisdom or budgeting. It has everything to do with following the heavenly principle of divine provision at all times. And as I was thinking about this idea of giving, two analogies came to mind, and I hope you can relate to them. Earlier, as I alluded to earlier, as a student, I heard somebody talk about tithing, and I did read about tithing. And though I understood it, you know, tithing is 1/10 of all income that comes our way. Whether you are a student, whether you are receiving benefits, whether you're a pensioner, whether you're working, all our income is 10% of what comes our way is expected that we bring into the tithe. Some of us might say, well, I give to charity and I do all that. Well, God says, bring it into the storehouse. And our storehouse is the place where we receive our spiritual, primarily receive our spiritual food from, which is your home church. Okay? Where you receive, that's where your tithes is supposed to come. Yes, we may choose to give to charities, and that's part of our offering or donations and all that. But this analogy came to mind. It's almost like, okay, let me put it this way. It's almost like being saved. You don't understand the joy of salvation and the peace it brings unless you are truly born again. Agreed?
Yeah.
You can't. And once you're truly born again, you can't imagine your life without being born again. And this came to mind. The Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. Also, we cannot enjoy the full benefits of open windows of God's blessings unless we are consistently faithful in at least our tithing. And this is so true. So as a student, I didn't have much pocket money, and it was a difficult time. I wasn't really from a privilege, as in financial place. So I would say, please, God, this last £1, it was Naira, but I'm talking in terms of pounds. And I would get to a point that I'm almost begging for provisions. I was in a boarding school. And then the Holy Spirit will nudge me, and I'll say, okay, God, and I'll give everything, any penny I have, how much ever, I'll say, God, forgive me, and I'll give it. And blessings just came from different places. Parents of other students came, and they'll say, well, this is my friend, Oye, and they'll just give me some money. This is my friend, Oye, and they'll just give me some money. So actually, it took me a couple of times, but I learned my lesson from that moment on, and it never fails, never, never failed. And then I have a photo here. Actually, this is me. Those who know me will know I'm not a green thumb person, but I try. And there was a time I tried planting garlic, and I planted it, and nothing came from the ground. And a dear sister who is a green thumb person now told me that I'm not planting in the right place, and so I'm not getting the fruit or the right season. And she told me, you have to plant in autumn, and it come in spring, summer, early summer. And that's what I did. And that's why I'm trying to say that, yes, if you have your funds and you think giving to charity is the way that God sees your heart, that's not the right way. And so you may not be getting the fullness of the blessing. I'm not saying that's not good. I run a charity as well. And yes, I would like those donations, but our tithes needs to come to the house of the Lord. And let's be honest. In those days, when God gave those commands, it was of everything they have. We have blessings beyond finance. So even the tenth of our giving is not the tenth of God's blessing to us, if that makes sense. So I just want to encourage us to do that. So I planted this garlic, and I had not succeeded. And I decided to try my hands on other things, and it's amazing. I didn't go buying garlic seeds to plant. I just took those, you know, those ones that, and I just put it in a shallow pot in my house, and this came out. And so I tried it the next year, more came out, and so I don't buy garlics anymore. And now, and this is just simple God blessing, you know, because you can see this bunch here from just a few. And I started 3 years ago. And now I'm onto potatoes. Even though my house is concrete, Lord, those who've been, my garden is concrete, but there's pots. And I tried it last year and I succeeded. So it's coming again this year. But that is how God, our God, blesses when we joyfully, so God loves a cheerful giver. When we joyfully give, not out of compulsion, or not out of, pressure, but we give of what God has blessed us with. So a tithe is, and those who are doing business, of your profit as well. Amen. Or those of you who are landlords, of your rental income as well. Every form of income. But I just want to encourage us. Andy mentioned that we had 30,000 last year, and now we're saying 40,000. For all of us, this is a blessing as well. For all of us who are taxpayers, whether you're a pensioner or you're working and you pay tax, can I please encourage you, if you have not already done that, I want to thank God for all of you who are giving. Fill in one of these forms. It's called gift aid form. And I know some of us will say, God does not want us, the left hand, to know what your right hand is doing. At the same time, God made this provision for blessings. Because the 30,000 we give, if all of us fill a gift aid form, becomes 37,500 for the church. And not only so, some of you who are financially properly blessed here, if you are a 40% tax payer, it actually reduces your tax by that 20%. Anything you're paying 40% and above on, your tax gets reduced by 20%. So not only is God blessing the church, he is also blessing us. So there are some forms at the back and there are some forms in the front. Please fill it. And for those of us who give bare sum up, I plead with you, please, if you're a taxpayer, take just a minute to put in your name so we can claim the gift aid on it, okay? So I'm hoping that we would be blessed by that and that God will open up the windows of heaven. I tell you the truth. I cannot even begin to tell you how much God has blessed me. I am rich. Amen. And we are all rich. Amen. That is the truth. Our Father owns the land. He owns it all. And he is just saying, just test me, as we read in that passage. Test me and see if I will not. And I have seen God do it in ways amazingly. I won't even talk about it now. But if you want to see how your 40% task can become 20%, and you don't know how, talk to me later. And finally, let me just end with this, because I was given just a few minutes. I'll just read this scripture, if I can find it here. Now remember, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. So if you're not going to bring it cheerfully, you can keep it. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him. Karen mentioned earlier that she's leaving it to God. Let's test God and leave it to him and see what happens. And have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. And I pray that the Lord will bless the work of our hands and bless us as we remain faithful to him. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Oyen. That's fantastic. I knew you'd do a brilliant job on that. So, the last slide. A big thank you from the leaders of TCF and the charity directors. A big thank you from us to you. And that is to thank you for what you have given. We couldn't have done without that, your giving, your prayers, your presence. So keep it up and let me encourage you to do more, really. So, yeah. I think I'll finish there. Oh, just to say one more thing, that the leaders don't get paid at all, actually. John's employed as a senior administrator in the office, but that's in terms of admin. The leaders don't actually get paid at all. We do it for the honour of it. We're volunteers, yeah, just like you. But yeah, I can say I've given faithfully, I've tithed, and God has never let me down.
something that Judith and I have done throughout our marriage. And for some people, it seems intimidating, and I would say for some of you, a tithe is a target. It's to work towards. You might want to take baby steps, but work towards the tithe. For others, a tithe is relatively easier, and it's a platform to increase from. But let's all work towards that, because it's God's means of financial blessing to his people. Okay, I'll finish that now. Amen.